We have teased often that we need kind of a, like a parallel universe that we could publish for our listeners, and that is that what goes on here in the breaks.
No one would listen to the commercial messages that pay our salaries.
There you go.
Because
that's
they'd
the
be watching the webcam of what goes on between the breaks here.
Of course, you
great
know,
discussion.
We could always do it. We could call it the B-side, and we could put it on our website.
Oh,
folks could go there and look at it after the show.
We'll have to do that. We'll have to create that.
We should do that.
Yeah, in the meantime,
maybe we shouldn't, actually.
One of the most frequently asked questions, both on the air and off, and you guys, I think, can attest to this in terms of the emails that we receive, were people saying, can you help me decide, how do I go about getting my next laptop? And I'm not going to go into the debate of whether it's desktop or laptop today, but people are wanting to find out, what factors do I have to take into consideration? So what I thought I'd do is I chose a laptop. I went on to Amazon, and I picked a laptop, which is a Lenovo laptop. It's a 15...
Which used to be IBM.
Used to be IBM.
Actually, Lenovo built them for IBM, and they just bought the rights to build them themselves. So.
Exactly. And the thing about this, folks, by the way, is that I was astounded by the price. $266.
Mm-hmm.
$266. And this is no slouch either. It has Windows 10 on it. It has a Celeron CPU in it, 2.16 gigahertz. This is speed, 4 gigabytes of RAM, 500 gigabyte hard drive in it. It's got a DVD player, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what I thought I'd do, because people have asked, you know, what do we do? How do I make decisions about the laptop that I want to get? First of all, I wanted to say, We said this very often. There are very inexpensive laptops out there for you.
Right.
You know, and this is an example. And this is off of Amazon, $260 for a Windows 10 laptop.
Okay, well, I will continue to be the surly son of a gun in the room.
Oh.
Two things that I read what you wrote about Foster, and I do like what you did and what you pulled together and stuff like that. Two things come in mind when I... When I'm trying to get a person to buy a computer, or if they ask me for help to be able to buy a computer, there are two things that I always go with. Number one, you can't buy that computer unless you're in front of that computer.
Right.
In other words, especially a laptop, because it's a very personal experience.
Very good point.
You got to feel those keys to feel if they feel good to you when you type. You got to look at that screen and see if it looks good to you when you use it. Those things are extremely important in the purchase of that laptop.
So hands-on, and by the way, that is a factor that isn't a technical factor, but it's a very practical one. Hands-on is very important.
It can make a difference on whether or not I'd want to buy that laptop.
Absolutely.
Now, that aside, my next step on that would be where the price sounds good, and it is Lenovo, which is a good brand.
Yep.
It's durability. What are you getting? You know, that age-old adage of you get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting a really good value, then it's great. And I think if I remember looking on the article you did, I think that thing originally retailed for, $600, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So in that particular case, it's probably a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's be the second thing that I would say.
$640. In other words,
that's the other thing that's important.
About $300 before that. How important is brand name, Ed, in terms of buying a laptop?
I think it's pretty good. I mean, who are the big ones? You got HP, you got Dell,
Lenovo.
You got Asus, you got Lenovo.
I go with the top four, HP, Dell, Lenovo, and Toshiba. Those are the four that I feel trusted
right,
with.
Right, but according to one of the guys we work, he just buys Asus all the time because he just loves them. So maybe five.
Okay,
and
HP, Dell, Lenovo,
that's coming up,
Asus.
You know, that's almost getting into that top tier right now.
What was
now,
the other one? HP, Dell, Lenovo, Asus?
I would go HP, Dell, Lenovo, Toshiba. He said Asus, and some people will squeak Acer in there.
Right, okay. Acer's coming up as well.
I think Acer's coming up even faster than Asus.
Yeah. So that's that's brand.
Because Acer purchased.
Did you include Dell?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Dell was the workhorse that I always went to beforehand.
Right. Yep.
So brand name is important. So hands-on brand name. How important is, we're kind of going down the list here, folks. How important is brand name to you?
Well, I think it is. It's important because you get better quality because they have better quantity that they can buy, and they can buy quality parts. Now, they're buying a lot of the parts from the same suppliers,
right?
Exactly. So a lot of the parts are the same. if you can buy in enough quantity. And those are the companies that can buy the quantity.
No, you've got a, how about, we didn't say Microsoft, and you've got a Microsoft
Surface
in front of you.
I did not even think of it, actually.
It's funny. Yeah.
It doesn't have the, first of all, they're expensive. Right?
We're just talking about the brand names.
Yep.
And we're talking PCs because we didn't throw a Mac in there.
Yeah. First of all, the Surface, I would not put in a PC category because it's more of a hybrid, if anything. It's a tablet and it's a PC. It's not.
Okay, let's
It doesn't do either one really spectacular.
That's another whole conversation.
It's a toaster. It's an oven. It's a toaster oven.
And there are people that will buy these specifically. I use this for my PC, and it's fine.
Yes. Okay. If I had the money, I probably would buy one of those.
Okay.
I have an Apple, which I love. But if I had the money for a machine that size with a tennis screen?
Yeah, and a lot of people. This is a 2. There's now the 4s out.
The 4.
Right?
And so the lap. Was it the call? The book. Microsoft.
It's very memorable.
Yeah, it must be memorable.
Anyway.
The other reason why I wouldn't include the Microsoft machine in it is that, and it's not anything to ding it as far as what it is, it hasn't been out long enough for me to say it's an established brand yet.
Okay.
And I would say it doesn't have the quantity to be able to get the quality parts at a reduced price.
Okay. Let's go to another one, because I want to move through this fairly quickly. CPU, the central processing unit. How do you make a decision about that? What do you get? As fast as you can. This one, for instance, this machine, just for the conversation, is an Intel dual core Celeron.
Yeah,
it's a Celeron.
It's pretty low end. It's medium end.
Yeah, it's
not an i5. It's not an i7 or an i3. Yeah,
I wouldn't say it's medium. This would be fine for my wife.
Okay, right? What would that mean?
That would mean she does a little bit of Word. She manages her photos. She does email. Okay. She surfs the web. That's fine. This is low powered for what I would want.
Because why?
Well, because I do some things. I do power spreadsheets. Good. I do pivot tables. I do a lot of things this is too low powered. It would take too long.
See, my point is I think most of our listeners probably could use lower powered CPUs and save a fair amount of money. Like this is $260 for a 15.5-inch laptop.
Right.
And for most of the people listening, I think this would be fine for emails, for maybe doing a little bit of work with photos, not for intensive, photo graphics. We're fine. So
it's probably a fair enough statement to say that most people use about 20% of the real power of that computer.
There you go.
Probably right.
So and that doesn't matter what processor they have. They'll probably only use about 20% of it.
So don't let the salesman say you got to have an i3 or you got to have an i5 or you got to have an i7 or the Haswell chip, or Skylake, you got to have the latest of the Intel chips. No, you don't.
Yeah.
No.
What I do say to people is buy the best you can for the budget range you're in.
Right. Okay.
Right. And as far as Intel or AMD, I know most of the gamers that I work with, and my boss is a gamer, and a lot of people to hang out with, they'll get AMD because they get more bang for their buck, and AMD makes some great video cards, too, and chipsets.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
Yeah, it's not a step down necessarily to get an AMD. I wanted just the listeners to hear that. You're not necessarily stepping down when you get, for instance, with this Lenovo, the Celeron chip, or if you get an AMD, you're just going to pay less for the processing power that's just fine from what most of our folks
do. For most people.
For most people. How about the size of the screen? Because a lot of, like Gary, you have a 10-inch screen there.
Which will cost more. The smaller you get, the ironically, more expensive
isn't that weird?
It is.
Yeah.
So you could buy a 17-inch really cheaply today and a 15.6.
Well, this 15-inch here is...
This is, and it's older technology.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, they recouped the investment in building it and in designing it and building it. So it's, but it's fine for most people, right? Now, you're not going to want to... Maybe use the screen if you have very detailed graphics that you have to do with it. But who does that? A few designers.
Would it be true, guys, that if you got a 15-inch screen for an older person who's maybe has some eye challenges to their vision, that they could make the screen resolution larger on a bigger screen that and be able to read a little easier than on a 13-inch screen?
And it's still real portable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
My whole principle of computers, I have 4 of them that I always live by. Can't have a screen too big, can't have too much memory, can't have a processor too fast, and can't have too much hard drive space.
Uh-huh. They're right.
Well, and the thing is, also to consider with the screen size is weight. So do you want to carry something that's 4 pounds, or do you want to carry or 7 pounds, or do you want to carry something that's 2.5 pounds?
But if it's
going to be sitting on your desk all the time.
By the way, this is 4 pounds. 4.3 right. pounds is the weight.
You're going to wreck your shoulder. No, I'm just kidding.
I remember the 28-pound luggables. Remember those?
Lord, oh, yes. Oh, but in most cases, for people, this will sit on their desk. To be honest with you, my laptop most of the time is sitting on my desk.
The only time they're going to pick it up is when they have to dust around it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, most people don't move them around. Few people will take them out on their deck and sit there and do it, but they're going to be doing it on top of a table next to a cocktail.
Right, right.
And most of the time, the only time the weight really comes into being a factor is when you're traveling with it. And it's going to be in a case. So what's the big deal?
Yeah.
In my opinion, hey, go big or go home.
What we're going to do in just a moment, folks, we're going to continue this conversation on talking about the screens. The question will be, to touch or not to touch? That is the question with the screens.
Today, there's not a question.
I don't know. We'll talk a little bit about
that. So I'm going to get my comment in just before the music starts for the commercial message.
We're also going to take a look at hard drives and the kinds of hard drives you can get.
And RAM.
We're going to look at the operating system, some security, and also we'll talk about reviews. We're looking at building your next laptop and some of the factors that go into that. I hope this helps you, this conversation. We'll be coming back to continue that in just a moment here on the Internet Advisor. We're talking about building your own laptop, and we're kind of using something that I found on Amazon. In other words, I wanted to give you and I'll post this on our website after the show, a practical kind of thing to work from, and that is a Lenovo laptop, a 15.6-inch laptop. It has Intel dual-core Celeron processor in it, 4 gigabytes of RAM, a 500-gigabyte hard drive, a DVD RW driver in there, HDMI, Bluetooth, webcam, all of that, and running Windows 10 for $266. Great deal. And we're using that kind of as a jumping-off point to talk about what are the things you look for when you're out purchasing a laptop? The question we're asked quite often here, and we're kind of going through some of the main things. We talked about the CPU, the central processing unit, the size of the machine, and things like getting your hands on it, brand names to consider. Let's talk about screens, to touch or not to touch. And Gary, you are, I know, ardently a fan of the touchscreen.
Absolutely. Because it gives you options.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that have touchscreens and they don't use it very often, but when they want to touch it, and because it just makes sense to do that, it works.
And we were talking about this on the way over here to the program, about the benefits and the pros and cons of having a touchscreen.
And, well, usually you pay about $75 to $100 more per laptop if you have touchscreen. Maybe $50 to $75 or $50 to $100 more. And the only time I really find I use it on my Lenovo that I have, which I also got on Amazon, was sometimes when I go to websites, it always loads the advertisements first, and then my mouse is stuck. I can't scroll by that header, and I just want to get to the words so I can read it. But if I have a touchscreen, I could just swipe up and
flick,
and at least I can get there. The advertisers are still
loaded. That's a perfect reason to use it.
Yeah.
Jenny,
but you've Cal, noticed that. Wait a minute. Cal and I have disagreed in the past. I don't know if you've changed your mind. Probably not.
You are correct.
Okay.
I have not. I have not really felt a use for a touch screen other than the fact that I want to get my screen all grimy with fingerprints. Maybe because I would, and I'm going to be quite honest, because I work a Mac and more than I do a Windows machine, and I use that operating system that is not set up for touchscreen, maybe I can't appreciate it as much as I probably would if I was using an OS that did that.
That's a big factor, by the way.
So I'm not going to completely write it off, but I've never really thought about a time when I wanted to take my fingers off the keyboards or off the mouse and go on the screen. So, I mean, you know, it's I'm still open to it.
If you're scrolling the Internet, like Ed's talking about, you're surfing.
Yes.
Then I find one of my wife's. Jenny has a little HP laptop that she uses. I can see where that works perfectly, and it makes it's complete sense. It's like using an iPad, or it's like using my iPhone in that sense.
Very much
the same thing.
If I can find the external monitor that's touch, and if I hooked it up to my Mac, and if it works with that, I might be interested in it, but I'd have to try it.
The thing I found is that doing fine work, like, for instance, I'll take Jenny's computer, which is touch, and I try to use Publisher to create a greeting card for somebody, I have to plug a mouse in. It's I can't do fine work.
Can you use a stylus on a touchscreen?
Well, yes, you could.
And actually, I'll use that sometimes when I have to do something pretty fine. But I will tell you, there's been two or three times when I've tried to move some graphics around and try to change some graphics. Yeah. I need the mouse too.
Yeah, and I've tried to use a stylus on Jenny's machine too, and it's just not fine enough.
Is the stylus pressure sensitive? Like if I push harder on the screen, does it make the line bolder, or is it just basically for just?
No, so actually, that's a really good point, and it doesn't. Okay. But will the next one, the next iPad, maybe do that? Because
the iPhone, iPad Pro does.
Well, the iPhone does it? Okay, because I know iPhone does now, and I don't have the new iPad. So, but that actually starts to make even more sense.
Guys, I want to move on to hard drives because this becomes a very big point. What kind of a hard drive would you suggest people buy? Like this one has a 500 gig hard drive, but it is a SATA drive. In other words, it's a mechanical drive. Nothing wrong with that.
I have started to really appreciate the smaller drives, solid state.
Okay.
First of all, it's comes up almost immediately.
Yeah, blazing fast.
Just like almost like a tablet. Not quite, but almost. Very close. And I store everything in the cloud. I don't save anything. I'd save very little. Mm. On my computer.
And the FBI loves you for that.
And I'll tell you what, if the FBI wants anything I have, they can have it.
No, that's the IRS.
And they can have anything they want to.
How about you, Eddie?
The IRS already has what I have.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I've only actually ran across two failed SATA or solid state drives. And I'm talking working at a corporation where
I've never seen them. So
hundreds of thousands of, you know, thousands of computers,
right.
And I've only had seen two failed solid-state drives.
Wow.
So I think, they're much more reliable.
Okay.
Definitely.
Cal, how about you?
I'm in the class halfway between the two. I like the hybrid drives.
That's what I was going
to say. I like the ability to have the speed of boot up that Gary talks about with solid-state, but I like the capacity without paying the high price of a mechanical drive.
Yeah.
So the hybrid ones, as a matter of fact, I'm running a hybrid in this MacBook Pro I got in front of me right now. So,
and what is it? Just explain for people what a hybrid means.
Basically what it is, it has an SSD drive.
Solid-state drive.
And a mechanical drive, both in the same assembly.
Right.
The SSD drive is significantly smaller.
What, 64?
This one in here is an 8-gig SSD.
Okay.
And then the mechanical drive itself is 1 terabyte.
Okay. See, so folks, you can have a terabyte worth of storage, which is a mechanical drive, but then you have that 8 gigabytes, which handles some of the basic processes.
Like for booting up and for things that are used on a frequent basis is stored in the SSD.
It learns. So am I right, guys? It learns?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm more and more impressed with the hybrid. And my thought is, for instance, if I were to buy this Lenovo, I would pull that hard drive out immediately and buy a hybrid drive and put it in there.
Really?
And I might spend $80 on a... Well, how much did you pay for yours, Bob?
Well, I caught mine on a strange little sale, and it's one of the it was one of the older hybrids. So I only paid like $50 for it.
Whoa!
But that was
The ones I was looking at were about $80, somewhere around that range, and you got like a 500 gigabyte hard drive, and then you got like 32 gigabytes of the SSD on top of it.
Right. I would probably go with one with a larger SSD in the future. But to have 1 terabyte of hard drive storage and an SSD would choke my wallet.
I would not take you buy a low price machine like this for the fact that it's packaged and it's low price and you're not going to need it for very much and you know it for.
I wouldn't. You wouldn't invest the money in it.
75% of the people that are listening, that's what they would do.
Okay.
Don't touch it.
All right.
Right?
Don't put it with it.
But if you wanted the hybrid drive, I just go to go to the next higher model has the hybrid drive in it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to want a bus system that works with it.
Okay.
Right. As soon as you start messing around, these systems are really tuned
woven together pretty tightly
for all of the components, right?
Okay.
So you can change components, but at the lower end, it's problematic, I believe.
Last few things here, guys. RAM. I'm noticing everything is shipping with 4 gigabytes of RAM. Would you automatically boost it, Dave?
For my wife, it's 4. I'm 8 or more.
Or more?
Yeah.
It's always 8 or more, and I'm going to tell you the reason why. Here's what happens. A lot of times, and we do this, we come across these people all the time on the show. I've had this machine for 5 years. It's running slow now. And if the drive is running fine, the other side of the coin is, what's happening is you're getting applications that you want to use today that didn't exist back when you bought that machine, and it needs more RAM to do those things.
Okay.
By putting as much RAM as possible in that machine, you've got room for growth for applications coming in the future.
And RAM is cheap.
And
it is incredibly cheap nowadays.
Now, except for when you – now, a lot of times when you buy the computer new, what they do is they fill up both slots of the bottom of it with two gig,
yes.
You know, and then what are you going to do with them? You're going to have to dispose of them and buy two fours.
They make great keychains.
Yeah, and they make great – yeah, you can hang them from your ears, but, you know, if you pierce your ears.
And that's why I wouldn't mess with this low end, right? I would go to the next level up.
Metaphor.
If you're going to go to 8 gig, don't buy something with 4 gig of RAM today and expect to be able to save some of it, because I agree with Ed, it doesn't work that way.
And the whole point of you coming up with this package is a package that a person can go in, buy, and start using. They don't have to engineer it or anything like that. They just pick it up and do their thing.
Well, folks, when people call us and ask, you know, how much should I put aside for a laptop? The example that we're working from today is that I took this off of Amazon, is a Lenovo 2016 edition of a 15.6-inch premium laptop for $260. So it's out there. We're not kidding when we tell you you can get that kind of a machine. All right. Coming up into the next hour, we're going to be answering your questions about your existing computers, or maybe some further questions about how you go about buying a computer for yourself. The number is 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. And in the show notes of our program, by tomorrow night, I'll have some of these key points lined up for you so you can consider it when you're out buying your next laptop.